Zoe Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Tas. So, we just got finished with the whole event with Eliyahu and Har Carmel. And basically how the Jews were turning towards the Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu basically told them that if they keep this up, basically there's not going to be any rain until they do Tshuva. And he set up this showdown at Har Carmel where basically, you know, God told him to give them rain, but he wanted, the way we explained it is, he didn't want to give them rain, then they'd all say, oh, look, Baal gave us rain. So in order to make sure that the rain would come without them accepting Baal and, you know, denying the whole thing and not learning the lesson, he wanted it to be clear in the rain coming that it was not from Baal, but it was from Hashem. So he set up this whole test, whereby he gave the Nevi'ah Baal the opportunity to try to prove himself, but it became a laughing stock. It just didn't work at all. And it was clearly that it was from Hashem. And he showed the people that it's Hashem. And then all the people turned towards him, and then they killed all the Nevi'ah Baal who were there. Okay? And this was under the auspices, I guess, of Achav, who was the king. And finally, now Hashem gave them rain, and God made the rain appear, and all that.
What does that mean under the auspices of Achav?
I mean, he was like the leader of the bad guys. Like, he was the one who was...
So why wasn't he put to death, too?
I mean, he was a king. He was not that easy to kill a king.
He was
Choti Machti. Well, that's true. I mean, practically, he was the king. Right? Yeah, no doubt. But I don't know who's exactly going to kill him. He's the king.
Right.
I mean, you can't just go up and kill the king. Uh-huh. So I guess they could take the people and be able under his control and there's enough power of the people. They were able to take them and seize them. But the king, I guess, has, you know, presumably has a good entourage and whatever, and you can't just kill the king. Uh-huh. Okay? So... Yeah. So then it says like, so what's the Perek Yud Tas? So Vayagid Ech Achav LeIzevel. It's called Shalosel LeElyahu. So Izevel was the wife of Achav. And she was very, very bad.
Bad okay.
What? Very bad.
As if he wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, right.
He married her.
Yeah, right. Too. Right. And she even killed, she went around and killed all the Nevi'ahim. I mean, they were somewhere hidden in the cave. But basically, all the known Nevi'im, she basically killed like that. Except she couldn't get Eliyahu. He's called, so Achav went back. Apparently, Achav was at this whole event, right, of this Har Carmel showdown. But she wasn't, so he went and he told Izevel, his wife, what Eliyahu did. He's called Shehara, I guess, called Nevi'im Bechara, and he killed all the Nevi'im sword. So Izevel sent a messenger to Eliyahu saying, Ko yasin elokim v'chol yosifon. So will Hashem do. She's basically like swearing or saying that tomorrow I will place your life like the life of one of them. Okay?
She's saying she's going to kill him.
She's going to kill him. Just like she killed, just like he did to the Nevi'ah Baal, she's going to do it to him. Mm-hmm. So she's threatening him. Okay? Okay? Interesting. Right? She was very bold. Didn't really... She wasn't put off by the whole event of Har Carmel or whatever. She didn't take it to heart. On the contrary, she was emboldened. Hey.
She must have been really mad to send a messenger, like, just at that moment, she said to send a messenger say, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she was mad. Well, because this was her, she was involved in the Avodah Zarah and destroying the Avodah Hashem. And you could take one of those.
Like, you know, somebody who their you know, security blanket is taken away from them and they, like, have a fit.
Right, flipping out,
yeah.
Yeah. Malach Yutas. So Vayar Vayakom Eilech Anasha. So she threatened Izevel, the wife of Achav, after she heard about this, like, threatened Eliyahu. Says, I'm going to kill you. So Vayar Vayakom Eilech Anasha. So she went. So he saw, he heard, he basically got up, and he went. Vayavu Be'er he traveled, Ashel Yehuda. So he ran away. He was scared. He was scared. Even though he had an ace and this whole thing happened to him, he still didn't know for sure that he was going to be protected, so he basically had to play it safe. So he ran away, right? And he left his nar there. And so that was a place which they say that was on that wasn't really under Achav's rule. Okay, but still he was afraid it was in Yehuda, because Achav was the king of the rest of the Shvatim. But still, Achav could go get him. And then only he left his lad, his young, his boy there, but then he went into the desert, a day into the desert. And he sat under this tree. Right, Rosam was a tree? Okay, so he sat down, and he basically asked to die. So much, Hashem, please take my life.
It's enough, right?
It's too painful. I can't do it. Okay. Ki lo tov anochi mevosai. I'm no greater than my fathers. Right? They died. Like I'll die. This means now, later, everyone will die. This is just too much. There's no. I can't do it anymore. The pain is too much. He's got all this hard work, and now he's being tortured by. But Izebel, she's going to kill him. It's just like he felt like he had enough.
Well, why not ask Hashem to kill Izebel? Why ask to die?
That's interesting. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, why is he throwing his towel?
Just stop him, Hashem, get rid of her.
Yeah. That's a good question.
And all of her messengers.
Where did that go? Okay, that's this one. Here it is. Yeah. So. Good question. Apparently he was old. They say he was very old and he didn't really feel like, he felt like he had enough in his life. Okay. So what happened? Good question.
Maybe he was just so disheartened that this, he did such a big. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal,
and still,
she like this was the last straw, like almost the straw that broke the camel's back. He's like, if after doing this, she still wants to kill me and go back to Abu Zara. What else can I possibly do?
Right. That could be. I mean, he thought he would impact the people.
Right.
And here it is, the queen just turns it right on his head and isn't moved at all, and then she's going after him.
And he also probably felt that his role and his purpose in life as a Navi was to bring the Jewish people to do tshuva, take them back from Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, what's the point of me being here if I can't do that?
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, good. So then what happened? So Vayishkav Vayishan Das Rosanachot. So he lay down and he fell asleep under this tree. V'nizem Malach Nogeva. So Malach touched him. V'yomer lo kol mechol, get up, eat. V'yabed, and he looked. V'hinei merashosa, v'gas ritzofim, v'tzapachs mayim. V'yichal v'yish, v'yish v'shem. So sure enough, he looked around and he saw some sort of a cake.
In the desert.
And some water. And he picked it, he ate. He sat up and he laid down. All right. So that was nice. So apparently Hashem was giving him some sort of an ace. Some sort of, Shkacha, he gave him this, some sort of a baked cake and whatever, right? Vayashem al-Hashem Shainas, and he laid down again. So after he ate, he drank, he laid down again. Vayigabo, vayomer, kom echol, ki rabim chodarach. No, you gotta eat more than that. You got a long road ahead of you. Not so fast. Don't just think you can eat a little bit. You got a long journeys here. So he got up and he ate and he drank and he went from the power of that achila 40 days and 40 nights journey until Aralakim, like Sinai. Okay, interesting, getting interesting here. And then he went there to this cave. And he slept there. And the Dvar Hashem came to him. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? What are you doing? Ayomer, kano kinesi l'Hashem elokei tzvachos. I took vengeance for the Shem Hashem. Alright? Ki ozvu brischa b'nei Yisrael. Because your b'nei Yisrael left your bris. That's mizbech osecha harosu. They destroyed your mizbeach. They killed your Nevi'im. And I alone am left. Yivakshu nafshi lahar lekachta. Right now, they want to take me. They say they really were the other Nevi'im in the caves, hidden, but they really couldn't do anything because they were hidden, so it's like they didn't exist. So I'm like the only Navi, and now they want to get me. He says, this is where I'm at. What are you doing? What am I doing here, Eliyahu? This is what I'm doing here. A Yomer Tsev Amadavar Lifnei Hashem. Go stand on the mountain before Hashem, Vinei Hashem over, and Hashem will pass by. V'ruach Gidola V'chazak Mefarek Harem V'shar V'slaim Lifnei Hashem. There'll be a strong, big, strong wind that will break mountains and smash, crush the, separate mountains and crush the rocks before Hashem. Lo beruach Hashem, but Hashem is not going to be in the wind. V'achar haruach rash, and after the wind, there'll be like a noise, trembling. Lo beruach Hashem, but Hashem is not going to be in the noise. V'achar rash eish, and after that noise, there'll be a fire. Lo beruach Hashem. Hashem is not going to be in the fire. V'achar ha'ish, and after the fire, kol mamadaka. There'll be a quiet sound, voice. Okay? V'hi kishmo Elio, when Elio heard this, v'ela panavardarto. So he wrapped his face in his, like, his cloak. V'yetze v'yam pesach amara. And he went out and he stood by the opening of the cave. V'hine ilav kol. And a voice came to him, Vayomer, Malach of Elio, what are you doing here? Vayomer, Kano Kenes Hashem Lekei Tzorakos. I took vengeance of Hashem Hashem, same thing. Ki Yazu B'Rishach Mnei Shos, Mnuchas Hachal Rosu, Ez V'yach Largu B'Charev. Vivasar Nili Vadi, Vivakshas Nashi Lekachta. Same exact thing. And I'm the only one left, and they want to take me. Okay, funny type of a story here, right? Vayomer Shemei Lov, Hashem told him, Leich Shula Darkal Midbar Adamashek, Uvasa Mashachta Chazal Malach Al-Aram. So go back on your road, and you're going to appoint Chazal, the king of Aram. It's Yehu ben Nimshi Timshach Melech Israel, and you'll appoint Yehu to be the king over the other Shvatim, not Yudah. It's Eliyahu ben Shafat Me'avol Mechola Timshach L'Navi Tachtachan. And you'll make Elisha the Navi instead of you. Well, Yehu Nimlod Mecher Chazal, Yom is Yehu. So Chazal is going to kill a lot of the bad Jews, and whoever escapes from Chazal, the king of Aram, Yehu will kill. And whoever Yehu, Yom is Elisha. And whoever escapes from Yehu, Elisha is going to kill. So basically, your mission of basically wiping out these bad guys is going to end up being realized through these your people after you. Okay, through Chazal and Yehu the king and Elisha. Vesharati Yisrael Shivas Alafim, Kolaver Kama Shelo Karlabalan. But I'll leave 7,000 people. And the Jewish people who didn't bow down to Baal, Chala Parashel Lo Nashak, and all the males who didn't kiss Baal. Ayelach Misham Vayimzas Elisha Ben Shafat. So he found Elisha who Choresh Neimasur Ksmadon Lefanav. Okay, fine. So basically,
what percent of the total people was 7,000? Was that like a small group, or was that?
I don't know. Good question. I'm not sure. It sounds small, but I don't know. So then he went and he did this mission. Okay, so that's basically the end of the war. So, what do you guys think about this whole little story here?
Is this when he was taken up alive?
That's later.
At the end of his life?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not yet, but yes, that's to come. So, what's the deal with this whole thing?
Like, this is a different kind of Nebuah than he usually had. His Nebuah was usually directed his mission about as it related to others. And this is more like preparing him for the last stage of his own life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Setting him up for passing the baton on to others.
Mm-hmm. They say, they compare this to like Moshe Rabbeinu's Nebuah at Har Sinai. It's like the Kavod Hashem passed by Moshe and taught him something. You know, there's some sort of a comparison here.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the question. What's the point of this whole Nebuah? Right?
Why is it recorded for us to see if it was mm-hmm. directed at Eliyahu and what he had to do?
Uh-huh. This is what the Radak says, this whole thing was like a reward for Eliyahu. The great Tov that he did, the Kiddush Hashem that he did at Har HaKarmel. So God rewarded him And he showed him this great idea. He says he had to explain what the ideas are, but basically he said this whole nevuah was a reward for Eliyahu, so showing you his great reward that for his thing, that God showed him this whole thing.
Well, the food was obviously a reward that he miraculously had food in the desert.
Right. But he's saying is, and he's being kept alive, right? And he's saying is, he's keeping him alive, and he's saying is, don't worry about it. Your mission will be accomplished through these other, you know, through these people.
Right.
Right.
But first, you have to do such and such before. Yeah,
right. Right. Appoint them, and then they're going to carry out the continued. So it's like kind of ending his life. They're gonna carry out what you started.
Well, it's interesting. He did walk 40 as a herald.
Yeah, he walked 40 days. So it was a big trip. Right, and he got different life. That's a good question.
I went to Horeb, which is Har Bais, right?
Right. Yeah. Seems that the God is saying that's the place to go. Mm. Right. That's apparently, like, you see, that is a place which is, you know, somehow a good place for good nevuahs.
Right. Local, there's some call sort of instead of long distance.
What?
It's a local call.
Yeah, local
call.
Don't. What's this whole nevuah? We got any insight into this nevuah? It's kind of a funny. The wind, and then the noise, and then the fire.
And why is part of the nevuah asking him about?
I know. What are you doing here?
What are you up to these days, Eliyahu?
And he answered him the same thing twice. He asked,
What are you doing here?
And he answered him, and then God showed him this thing, and then he asked him again, and he answered the same exact thing.
Maybe that's for his own benefit, of him to, like, take a check of, like, where he's at. Because
mm-hmm.
He does respond by saying that, like, I'm the last one left.
Right.
He was a cheshbon on nefesh. Before he dies, he has to do a cheshbon on nefesh.
Right. It does support, actually, with Ayala Yerushalayim, is that. It sounds like, in a certain sense, he felt like broken, like his whole mission isn't really being accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
He did this whole thing, and bottom line is, now he's always going to get him. And then part of the nevuah is, sure, and don't worry about it. This will be realized, not through you, but you will basically be the vehicle of it being realized by appointing these other people. And they're going to do it, and then there's only left the 7,000 people.
He needed to hear this for some reason.
Yeah. Well, it seems it makes sense that he would want to hear that. You know, that is what he's doing is going to be realized. You know, going to reach its fruition. After all his actions, his hard work, is basically to try to bring the people back to Hashem. And, you know, here it is. It's kind of not working. So that makes sense. That makes sense to reveal that to him. But the one thing which is added in is this whole other nevuah, right? Alright. A strong wind that's breaking mountains. And what it says, but Hashem's not in the wind. Then a loud noise. So, Hashem's not in the noise. Then a fire. Hashem's not in the noise. And the fire. Then a cold mamadaka. Sound. The implication is that in that maybe Hashem is in that, right? Because when it says all the other ones, and it says Hashem's not in that, Hashem's not in that, Hashem's not in that, and then it says that after that it was the cold mamadaka, it makes it sound like that's really Hashem. Something like that, right?
Isn't that the language at Har Sinai? Cold mamadaka?
Yeah.
That's the language.
Is it?
I think that's the same language at Har Sinai.
Perhaps.
Sounds familiar.
It's like a quiet call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound familiar. It's true.
And like then he hides his face.
Yeah, hides his face.
It's such a loud call.
Right. Well, finding his face is often like a sign of like being revealed some sort of knowledge. It's like a certain like overwhelmed by the knowledge or some sort of humility, something like that. It's like before God, a person feels like low and like he's kind of feels like nothing, and you like hide your face, you know? That's like a certain type of an expression of like a Yiras Hashem. And I mean, maybe we'll be able to get more into that, but this, you know, that is a characteristic type of thing.
And there's the same question and answer as before.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
I know. Same question and answer. I know. The question before and then the question after.
Maybe it was the echo. Because he's in front of a cave and then it just echoed back.
Right.
Vayamod Pesach Mara. He loved cold. Right when he gets to the front of the cave, all of a sudden he hears the same voice coming back.
It's exactly the same, right? So I was looking if there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly
in it.
The same, yeah.
Right, exactly. Which word, right?
His response.
Yeah. Aleph Apolio. It's exactly word for word.
Aleph Apolio.
Maybe an extra vav or something, but basically the same.
Maybe he's getting dementia in his old age. He forgot that he answered the question already, so he answered it again.
Hashem asked it again.
What?
Hashem asked it again. So, I mean, no doubt we're not going to be able to understand the full depths of this nevuah, because this is like a nevuah which is for Elio, based upon his level. And right? But the question is, could we get anything about what's going on? Right? Like, are we supposed to interpret, like, what's this about even? Right? Like, what's the... It seems like this is a significant thing, right? He's bringing in 40 days in order to do a special thing. He's very happy. He even likes it's like a reward for what he did. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? What is the whole thing? On some level, can we say anything about this? That's really my question. How you doing, y'all?
Learned this, I think, not a year ago. It's cool to come back to it.
Oh, okay. Do you recall what you guys said?
Yeah, I have some notes on it.
Wow.
We were talking about the
Nebuah. Okay, with Miriam. Okay. Do you want to summarize that?
Sure. We had two thoughts. One was that maybe, like, Eliyahu likes to use miracles like fire, wind, and noise to teach people that God is not in these things, it's more subtle. So, like, maybe that's the lesson, that Eliyahu can't understand why people could possibly, like, how could Ezebel possibly be wanting to hunt him down? How could anyone still be defying God after what he did? But, like, that's not how people change, because God isn't in the fire, it's something that takes time.
Okay.
And then the other one was maybe God is not in his demonstration, so God's not even in Eliyahu himself. So we shouldn't be so upset. Or maybe Eliyahu is like the rock, the fire, and the crashing, and like Elisha's going to be the stillness and sound, and it can't be the same person.
Uh huh.
Development takes a long time. It needs a drip. Like water on a rock, it's not like a crashing, sudden thing.
Right.
So that wind and fire and cold hands and a cold.
Okay, I hear you.
And then Miriam was thinking of the cold shofar chazak at Har Sinai.
Right.
And that in that case, what comes after all the signs and wonders is the mitzvot. So the mitzvot would be like the cold moment, and that would be what Elisha would need to like re-energize and revive in the people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was the point of the nevuah?
We thought that we weren't thinking of it as a reward. We were thinking of it as like God trying to teach Eliyahu something that he shouldn't, either he shouldn't be so upset,
Uh-huh.
And rest his face, which we took as maybe like hiding himself or removing himself from the message.
Uh-huh.
I can see it the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized where Kol Dama Madak, that's why it sounds familiar. Isn't it in the Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur davening?
Mm, yeah, you're right.
It's in the Shemona Esrei of Rosh
Hashanah. Hinei Yomadin?
Yeah.
You're right, and it's on Tokaf.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not by Sinai. Mm-hmm. It's chill.
Language of Tshuva. Like I said, it's a Cheshbon Nefesh at the end of his life. He himself has to do Tshuva at this point in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? So, maybe I'll tell you what I was thinking. Well, it's just an approach. But the approach is like this, is that, see, when I see these ideas, it's like he's showing him these powerful events, right? But they're different things. I feel the wind, the fire, the noise, but strong, powerful. And he shows them and they says, lo be this Hashem, lo be that Hashem, lo be this Hashem, right? So it's like this Avamino. I would have thought, as he sees this strong, powerful force, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to man in power and might, right? The Gevuras Hashem, right? That's one way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed to man, right? And like through the, like I guess you're saying also like the miracles and the controlling the rain and a fire coming from the sky and like in a very outward powerful like the Gvuras of Yamsuf and of the Nisim Mitzrayim, right? There's an idea of like God's power and his might and the, you know, the wind and the noise and the fire and the, you know. But he's saying is the lo beruach Hashem, lo ba'ish Hashem, lo ba, you know. That, it could be showing Eliyahu. See, Eliyahu related to God. His interaction with people and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, the people needed that. That was at the time. They needed the miracles. They were like that. They were lower people. And they needed to be brought to God through the miraculous, through the powerful, through the onesh, through the manifest, you know. But, ultimately, lo baruach Hashem, lo ba'ish Hashem, lo ba'ish Hashem, these are surface. The real, the ultimate root of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not through his gvura, but it's through the Kol Dama Madaka, which it could be is, to me sounds like it's a pointing to like, to the Chachma, as the Chachma Sashem, like the Torah, Sinai, the ideas of a Kol. The Kol Hashem is the words, and it's quiet words. The real appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not in the manifest, powerful things which impress upon a person's emotions, but the deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God, is the Nosein HaTorah, is the Chochmas Hashem, the quiet, subtle appreciation of the higher ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where the Gvuras Hashem helps a person, you know, blows him out of his world and helps him realize that Baal is crazy and helps him realize Hashem's really in charge. But that's not ultimately where it's at. That's like a tool and it helps a person. But the higher level, look, it's something. I mean, it's certainly worth something for a person to come to Hashem through that. But there's a higher level of a more sublime, subtle, abstract appreciation of Yeshua. And it could be is that, and this is where it's a direction. But see, a Navi's involved in leading the people, but he's involved in gaining knowledge on his own personal knowledge. And a person gains knowledge through his life's experiences. So Eliyahu's relationship to God was through this powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midas Hashem of Gvura,
and God controlling the rain and the miracles and the, you know, and all that stuff. Right? And it was through that framework. It wasn't, he didn't relate to God. He wasn't in an era where the relationship with God was purely through chachma and study and knowledge. And his relationship to God was, and his interaction as a vehicle of Lashkafa was through this type of gvura. Kano kinesi lashon tzvakas, right? He says, I'm taking vengeance. Right? Vengeance is the god of the Aish and of the wind breaking mountains, and you know. That was the god who he related to. That was the way in which he interacted with Ashkacha, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it could be at the end of his life, the Nevuah was a personal Nevuah, which was bringing him closer to a higher idea, to a higher way to relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is that he excelled, of course he knew the, of course he knew the idea, he knew this idea, I don't think it was, this is why it's a direction. I don't think we could be privy to what he was being, see what he's being showed. But the nature of his obviously he knew that the higher idea of Akash Baruch is through the ideas. But that's, there's many levels of depth to that. And I'm saying is that the nature of his interaction with Akash Baruch Hu, with the Hashkacha, was through the Gvuras Hashem. Through the might, and through the power, and through the Kinas, the Kinas Hashem, the punishing people, the Schar, the Onesh, right? And the Yad Chazaka. But this Nevuah was showing, it was opening up a door to him to higher ideas. Similar to like, and that's why they compare it to like Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, where God showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Yigal Midos. You know, showed him the highest, brought him to the highest levels of knowledge. So the saying is here, God is bringing him to, directing him towards the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Kol Dama Madaka. You know, towards the Yedias Hashem, which is totally removed from the physical. So it could be he's showing him the Ruach. I don't know what the different elements are. Showing him the Ruach. But that's not, HaKadosh was not the Ruach. Showing him the Eish, HaKadosh was not there. Through like, he's like kind of bringing out different ideas and separating God from that. A very different idea, whatever the Rosh is, and God's not in that. And the different things, and he's like kind of, he's honing in on a higher idea for Eliyahu, which is being revealed to him through the Nevuah, you know. So again, the particular is for Eliyahu, you know, isn't for us. But what I'm saying is that perhaps this is what he's doing, is he's showing him at the end of his life of relating to God through the Gevura before he's done with that powerful. He's going to appoint other people. They're going to carry on the mission in this world. But that mission of destroying people, he's done with that part of his life. But he's now, God's showing him, okay, now you could relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a higher level, on a more abstract level. And that's going to be what the Nevuah is directing him towards. And when he saw that, then he hit his face. And it was like he was humbled by that idea of the highest idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was like a new level, a new appreciation of an idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was, you know, hiding his face from.
And then why does that?
What do you mean he did it again?
Good question. One second, what did he say?
And then why does he have to repeat it again? What are you doing? Malfapo.
Yeah. What were you going to ask?
What do you mean, like, the particulars? Like, of our, like, we have related to his unconscious? Like, how he related to.
No, I mean, the idea is, and the idea, because, like, what exactly idea was being revealed to him? That Hashem isn't physical, or Hashem isn't a force, and, that we know that. He knows that every, you know, we hope our kids know that by the time they're 12 years old or something. So there's presumably the ideas, the way to think about it, I mean, whatever, metaphysical ideas, I don't know what they are, but there's an idea of like totally maybe breaking down certain wrong ideas that he had about Hashem, or I don't know, whatever, there's a whole world of knowledge of God, which a person, you know, we're not privy to. So I don't know exactly what it means, but you know, there is a whole area of knowledge about God and about, you know, showing, correcting proper, you know, directing him towards proper ideas about God. You know what I mean? Yeah, so, your question. I don't know. Let's see if we can figure that out together. I was hoping you guys would help me on this one. So then, afterwards, so I kind of hear originally he asked him, what are you doing here? So he's basically, he says, Kano kinesi Hashem kitzvos, right? And they destroyed your stuff and I'm alone and they're trying to kill me. He's like kind of, this was his life. His life was the battle for Kiddush Hashem. And he was taking out vengeance and he was killing them and they were trying to kill him. It was like a very, the nature of his relationship with God is like in a strong battle out type of a way. And then God is basically saying, okay, now go to the higher and I'm going to show you this higher idea. But then, he says, okay, then again, afterwards, he came out, right? And then the call came to him again. He says, what are you here for? And he again said the same thing. So what do you, I'm not sure what to take of, what to do with that.
David has an interesting answer here.
Yes.
So the lesson in the fact that Hashem didn't come through the Ruach or the Rash or the Eish was to teach him ki chafetz chesed hu lo ya'ir kol chamaso, that Hashem wants him to learn that he carries out to carry out the nevuah in such a way that it's not punitive. That you should try to find ways to not blow up at the people. Lavo beruach v'ra'ish v'losha. Where is that? Ki chavetz chesed hu v'lo ye'er kol chamaso lavo beruach rash hu be'ish. V'lazeh sh'alo tov malcha po ritzono lamar ha'odcha basa. You came here again to get revenge on them. So, and then the next one says, so why did Eliyahu repeat it? If the question is, are you here to get nekama on them? He should have said, well, you know, Hashem taught me this lesson, and he should have taken it as a lesson in the way to act. But he said that he wasn't taking nekama for his own sake, he was taking it for the sake of Hashem's name.
Right.
So that's why he repeated it again.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I guess he was questioning if that's the right idea. Vayomer kana kanesi ritzon lamar halo me az kanesi kina Hashem v'lo lechvodi l'ze gam ata avakesh Nekama Laman Kavod Shemo.
Right.
Even now, after you've taught me this lesson, I still would take Nekama for the sake of your name.
Right. Yes. But I don't think he's learning exactly like we're learning. It's similar, but I'm trying to see if I could figure it out.
Why are you saying he's getting a Ruah now? Just as a reward, or is it done with?
It's a reward. That's what Adonis says, a reward. I don't say it's like a reward, is that he was, in a certain sense, he was involved in Kiddush Hashem on the highest level, but it was involving him in a certain way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now his reward was, because he was successful in that, now God is bringing him to even a higher level, showing him, opening him up to a higher degree of knowledge. Root of knowledge away from the Eish and the fire, Ruach and the Rash, but through the Kol Dama Medaka, the sublime ideas relating to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a higher level.
It seems like he's disheartened from being a Navi anymore. He doesn't want to be a Navi. He wants to die pretty much.
Right. Okay. So and then for what?
I don't know. Like, it would seem the Nevoah should address that. It's, you know.
Well, it kind of did, because it says, okay, fine, that was the next part of the voice, that he says, now you're going to go on, and you're going to appoint Chazal and Yehu and Elisha, and they're going to be the ones who are going to carry and continue on in your mission. You're done with this mission. You're moved on from that, and you're involved in your own higher ideas until you die or whatever. You appoint them, and then you'll... It could be he's saying, is okay, fine, I appreciate these higher ideas, but the bottom line is... and if I'm still attached to this idea of Kiddush Hashem, and it's very nice here, it could be that's me as you're saying. He's like, okay, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hit his face, and he appreciated that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he still is attached to the idea of Kiddush Shema Ba'olam, and Kinah, and destroying these people, and he's got a predicament on his hands, which is that his Ezebel wants to kill me, they're coming to kill me. And this whole thing is I'm trying to be the Kiddush Hashem to show everybody this idea and this Kiddush Hashem. And bottom line is they're destroying your Mizbeth and all that stuff, and I'm the only guy, and now they're going to kill me. So although it's nice, He appreciates that idea. It doesn't take away from the fact that this is the life that he's living, is a life of the expressing the Gvuras Hashem, trying to show people these ideas in the world. So then Hashem answers him, okay, you're right.
You
I didn't mean to say that, forget about that.
Right.
You're not going to be involved in that anymore. You're right, you've moved beyond that. You've got your point. You're going to appoint them, and they're going to carry that out, but you should know only those 7,000 people are going to be left alive, and the other people are going to... So your mission will be accomplished. You're done with it. You're being moved to a higher level of knowledge before you die, and you're going to check out by appointing the next people, and they're going to carry it on. Your mission will be accomplished. It's not to the exclusion of the accomplishment of your mission, it's just that you're not going to be the one to realize it. You'll be a vehicle of its realization, because you're going to appoint these people, but you're not going to actually
be
the one to do it.
The fact that he repeated literally word for word, it's kind of a lesson in how you should address... you know, like when you're speaking to an authority and you want to point out something that, you know, he has a good point. There's still this practical thing that he has to deal with.
Yeah.
But he could have said, but Hashem, you know, I need he just basically repeated the same thing.
That's true.
And
it's true. It's interesting. It is like a certain sense, like a bold thing. Oh, it's here revealing him this idea. And he's not just saying, okay, thank you. You know? But he's true, he's appreciating it. His first thing was he hid his face in his cloak. He stepped out of the Mara. Vine lo kol. And then the kol said to Malcha Poli, oh, now what? Now what do you want? Right? But he says, yeah, apparently he's still there, right? He says, Vine lo kol. Right? He stood by the Pesach Mara. So maybe it's like he was still waiting for something else. Now that God addressed him again, he says, still... Alright. Still, you haven't really addressed my problem. I still have this problem on my hands. So then he's showing him, no, that I will address that also. Alright, it's interesting. It's like he can't extricate him from that world, because that was his world, and that was where his energy was involved. So he was still going to help him in that area, but the nevuah was the schar, as I'm saying, is that he's bringing him to even a higher level. Mm-hmm. Like you could imagine, for instance, maybe just to bring my point home a little bit, is let's say you have a person who is their whole life they're involved in arguing with breaking down people who are like kofrim and avodah zarah. And you're involved in all that type of battles, of course. You know? So your whole life you could be involved in and great Malachas Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, you could be successful at that. Right? Let's say, whatever it is. Or maybe you're teaching high school kids, and you're teaching them good ideas and getting through to them and really opening up their minds to the Torah and ideas, and you know? So a person's either of those examples, or both. Maybe do both of those. Now that and those energies involve the person, although they're great malachas shemayim, but at the same time, they're not the highest, deepest levels of analysis and of thought. If you're arguing with Avgabi Gorsim, it doesn't mean you're involved in the highest ideas. But in a certain sense, although that's what's necessary, and that's good, and that's important, and it's a functioning and a great Kiddush Hashem for the world, in a certain sense, you could argue that the person is going to lose out because another person who's not doing such great things might be sitting in the basement just learning Torah and delving into the depths of the Torah and of ideas in the Torah. So in a certain sense, you could argue, is that fair that he's going to lose out on this great knowledge of ideas, of depths of ideas, because he's involved in really the great Malachas Shemayim that's necessary for this time? So you could say no. Perhaps you'll say is that it would only be right if you would also have you privy to these higher ideas. So I'm saying is, in a certain sense, that's what's happening. Eliyahu's involvement is in fighting with the people, and teaching the people, and arguing with the people, and running away from the people, and in the rain, and so it's just the whole life is like, it's not a life of a person sitting involved in ideas. It's a type of a life of kinah, and of being attacked and running away.
It's not an easy life.
No, right.
What's really amazing is that even when Hashem said that the highest ideal would be for him to, right. you know...
Right. He still turned back.
He still turned to his mission.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, exactly. So what I'm saying is, but that mission, in a certain sense, prevents the person from reaching the highest heights. Mm-hmm. But the hashgacha is that he'll get that knowledge anyways. And this is what I'm saying. Before he died, God brought him to Sinai and gave him this great mark. I think that's what I read it upside somewhat to this by Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go at the snag. He didn't want to go to do the mission. Mm-hmm. Why not? So you think, if you're the leader, what's greater than that? But he was involved in ideas about God. And he knew to start dealing with the people. He saw later, he complained, these people, they're hard, they're complaining. It's like, dealing with people is a hard, backbreaking labor. And it's not a person who's involved in ideas. Would rather just leave him alone. Let him just involve. Let him do his thing. Let him learn Torah. Let him learn ideas about Hashem. What does he need it for? And he didn't want it at first, Moshe Rabbeinu, but Hashem gave it to him. But ultimately, he dealt with the people. But he also had 40 days and 40 nights at Har Sinai, and he ended up reaching the highest heights through his role. So it's like it's in a certain sense that's like a person can't exactly map out their route. And sometimes you could try for the direct route to the knowledge, but sometimes your life's plan ends up directing you along a different path. But it's saying is at the end of the day, he had a great reward, and Hashem, you see, by Moshe Rabbeinu and by Eliyahu, ended up getting rewarded that God gave them the highest knowledge, despite the fact that their energies, in a certain sense, was involved in the world of people and the, you know, dealing with like Nisi Mitzrayim and dealing with Eliyahu's, you know. I seem to remember on the Rambam lists, like levels, the Rambam is somewhere he talks about the levels of Nevi'im. In the Moran Bochum, I think I remember Eliyahu was like up there, really high. Like maybe after Moshe Aaron and Miriam or something like that, maybe next. I think, I have to check it again. But I mean, he was he's definitely a, you know. You see, this is kind of reminiscent of Moshe Aaron, the cave at Har Sinai, and you know.
Yeah, the concept of having like, being in the practical world of being a posik halacha or bringing people to tshuva takes you away from your building up your ideas and the concepts of Torah. So that's a good segue to a question that I've had. All the women who were at Matan Torah, they didn't have a chiyuv of Lima Torah. They don't have a chiyuv of being part of the chain of Mesorah. So why were the women at Matan Torah? What was the reason for them to be there? Was it for their own personal gain? Or, because they needed to have these ideas to perfect themselves, those particular women, regardless of the generations that come after them? Or was it because they are part of the Mesorah in the sense that while they're raising their children, they need to have the proper ideas? So this kind of reminded me of it, like Moshe and Eliyahu are involved with the people, so they don't have the chance to learn the ideas, yet the women did have the chance to learn those ideas because they were at Matan Torah.
Right.
Hashem never said only the men should be coming to Matan Torah, or only, only the men and boys. The women also came to Matan Torah.
That's true. It's a good question. But first of all, what?
Isn't it a bigger event that the whole nation came as opposed to like the men coming and telling the women about it? It's like a more valid event
that
there's more people there.
Right. That's true. I don't want to imply though that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu didn't have ideas about Hashem Baruch Hu. I mean, they did, but before these events, they had the highest. But almost, but like there's a level where a person is purely involved in ideas, and the involvement in the world, in a certain sense, brings, takes a person away. I think actually that's how the Rambam explains the ladder. Jacob's ladder, the dream.
Mm-hmm.
He says the malachim going up and down are Nevi'im. And the way Nevi'im work is they go up to Hashem and they gain knowledge, and then they come down to the world and they interact with people. And they go up and they go down. It's like a give and take in the Navi's life between elevating to the highest ideas and then going interacting with man and bringing those ideas to mankind. And going up, up and back, and there's like a kind of a back and forth. And I think it's like, this is on the level of Nevi'im, but I think it's kind of for us also, is that this part of life is, our relationship to God and to Torah does involve both dimensions. which is first of all, in terms of leaving Torah, in terms of studying ideas, whether it be, like you said, man or woman, it would be like Gemara versus just like ideas about Hashem and the Navi and Chumash, and you know. So there's like our abstract, our relationship to God through our knowledge, but then there's also through our involvement in the world, whether it be raising our kids or involved in interacting with people and teaching people, and you know. So there's like, there is like a dual, you know, two faces to one's devotion to Hashem, which involves like a combination of the abstract, highest ideas, and then there's involved in so far the highest ideas we could achieve on our level, and then so far as we relate to other people, it may not be at the highest level. But if we teach our kids basic ideas, which aren't the highest ideas that we have, but this is our level, and this is ideas which our kids need. So, you know, are they the highest ideas in the world? They are for a six-year-old, and that's part of our mission of bringing Yiddish Hashem to the world, is on our, you know, in the world that we live. So it is like kind of a dual, you know, the two faces of one's world's Hashem. Can't get stuck in either of them. I think to just get stuck in the lower world is, if your person has the ability to realize the higher ideas, that's very important. But at the same time, to get stuck in the higher ideas and not to be involved in bringing the ideas to people at their level is also, you know, is not being appreciated, the idea of Kiddush Hashem and the idea of building Sassam Torah to people on all levels. So, you know, I think it's maybe it's something we could take from the story, you know? Yeah, okay, so this is my take on the Nevuah. I mean, it's hard to really, you know, to know. It's somewhat similar to the LT in the first approach you were taking, different than the second. I'm sure there are a lot of different ways to go on this Nevuah, so it's kind of open-ended. Just figured I'd share my thoughts about it. And I guess next time we'll try to move forward with, I guess, Elisha. It's not that much about Elisha here. And then further, there's this thing with this war of Achav and Ben-Hadad. It's interesting. So I guess we'll try to pick up. What do we have? One more week and then Shavuos, I think. I guess, right?
Tuesday night is Shavuos.
Yeah. Okay. So I know I didn't answer your question, Ayala. So.
No, not this coming Tuesday night.
Right. So we have one more week and then Tuesday night is Shavuos.
The week after that.
Yeah. So I know I didn't really answer your question, but you raised a lot of good possibilities about why women are
saying.
Yeah, if I think I'd want to give it some thought, but maybe some other week I'll take it up.
Because there's also Gemara that says, call him along.